some 2,000 years ago. God sent his sacrifice. He took our sins upon himself, hung there in our shame. He was spotless and so pure. Oh, the Lamb of God for sure, for he took me as I was. Oh, praise his name. What a friend he is to me, I can hardly believe that the God of heaven brought me out of why he loves me, oh, so strong, causes me to have a song. Oh, for he took me as I was. Oh, praise his name.
Welcome, welcome to Truth of the Matter with Dr. Doug Quick here on the Six Eyes Radio Network for the last day of February 29th, 2024. You're in for a great show. Welcome one, welcome all that's around the city states, a faraway country. You're now tuning in to Truth of the Matter with Dr. Doug Quick here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Good evening, everyone. How's everyone doing?
Doing great, Six, and thanks for the intro. Save me from doing it tonight. I appreciated that.
I like that interview.
Gotcha.
That was a nice general.
Thank you. Thank you. I might have a preacher here. Oh, boy. So how's everyone doing?
All right. Doing great tonight. And just want to say welcome to everybody. And if you called 515, I need my coffee, Six. I should have let you kept right on going. If you call 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, just press the number one, join the conversation. We'll be glad to hear from you, your prayer requests, your prayer praises, any of those good things tonight. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So who do we got in the house here, Sister Ruth?
Well, we got God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band of angels. We have you, Brother Quick, Brother Six, and just little old me.
All right. Well, we're going to change this one up tonight. Let's start with Six, see what he's got for us.
Well, we have just more than us. We have the world listening. So we have all of America and several countries listening, surrounding the city and states. So a lot of people are listening. A lot of people are going to listen later on. So we're in good company. And I'm glad you all are here with us on the 6 Eyes Radio Network. As usual, I always pray for mankind. And strangely enough, the message was yesterday about war, ending of war. And I always talked about stopping war, you know, waving the white flag, because we've been in war since the beginning of time. And it's been over nothing but resources. And a life is way more important than some oil and stuff we can't take with us after we leave. So I just want to pray for mankind, my family, my friends, your friends, and just the nation as a whole. Anything that needs to be repaired, Lord will fix it. And with that, I'm complete.
All right. Well, now, Mrs. Quick, what may you have for us tonight?
Okay, I'm right here. We just got another
prayer
request.
Hello, First Lady.
Hello.
Good evening. How are you?
Doing?
I'm blessed. How are you?
I'm very blessed myself. We'd gone for a walk at Walmart tonight, and we'd asked the Lord to give us someone to pray with. And lo and behold, we run across the lady, and she was asking prayer for her sister, whose name is Sandra Strickland. She's been taken to the hospital in Jacksonville, and they're going to try to figure out what's going on with her. And so we prayed with her there, and I'd like everybody else to pray for them as well. And then a few weeks ago, we run into a lady that her daughter is battling cancer, and her name is Lily, and the daughter's name is Jamie, and we've not seen her since she requested prayer, I think, a couple weeks ago. So let's continue to pray for them. And then our friends Phil and Letty, they live in North Carolina. She's battling some issues with her health, and really they don't know exactly what's going on with her. So you know how that is. They'll run this test and that test, and they've run several tests already, and they haven't had any news of any reports of the results yet. So let's continue to pray for them. And then we still have our four unspoken. And then I have a praise report. My niece and her son had made a trip to Arizona for a couple months, and they've made it back to Michigan, and they're exhausted. But they are praising the Lord for the safety that they had. It was about a 2,000-mile trip, and they run it straight through. They didn't stop bed down any place. They just took turns driving, and she said they're very, very tired. So just want to thank the Lord for their safety. And with that, I'm complete.
Amen.
All right.
Thank you for his listening.
You're welcome.
All right, Sister Ruth, your turn.
Yeah, I fell out of bed a few days ago. I got this bad bruise on my knee, but God's still on the throne, so I'm letting him handle it.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
And, well, as always, I'll try to slow it down this time so you and Mrs. Quick can get these. Of course, for all our country's leaders, they need to seek after God, not after man. Amen to that.
Well, if I may, before you do that, we have some bad actors out there here in Ohio who have pretty much been targeting females. They're impersonating cops, and they are pulling these women over. And we talked about this a while back, but they're back at it again. They're in these unmarked cars, and they are, once again, pulling behind people, and you got some that are robbing, and you got some that are just harassing, but mainly the female drivers. So from the Six Eyes Radio Network, if you are to be pulled over by one of these suspected cops, do not stop. Keep going. And do not let them drive you off into a street that's not a lot of people on it. You know, try to stay on the main street. If you can go to a gas station, if you can go to a convenience store that is open, you know, preferably like a Walmart that's open late, but don't let them take you to a street that there's not a lot of traffic on, because they're trying to pretty much do bad things. So we want you all to be safe here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. And I go for guys, too. I mean, they're robbing, and like I said, they're pulling people over, but they're mainly targeting the female driver. So they did this a while back, and we thought that was over with, but they're back at it again, these bad actors portraying policemen. So I just wanted to put that out there and continue on with the show. Thank you.
Amen. That's definitely a prayer request that maybe they get caught and taken off the street. That would be definitely a prayer request.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, and then, of course, pray for the situation over in Israel. Pray for our brother Tim over there in Israel, that God would keep him safe.
Amen.
And then be praying for our military, all the different branches. And then, of course, our first responders, police, fire, and ambulance. Pray for all our medical workers, no matter what field they're working in medicine. And pray for all the sick and shut in, and the lost, that they'd come to Christ, especially that one who is nearest hell. For the Six Eyes Radio Network, and especially the Six Eyes Radio Network team, and for the finances of the Six Eyes Radio Network, and finally for the blind ministry and the need for the bus. And with that, I'm complete. We're going to turn it over to Brother Quick, unless somebody else has a request that they did not get in. We'll turn it over to Brother Quick for any requests he may have, and then he could open us in prayer and take us into his message.
All right. Thank you, Brother Ken. And thank you, Brother Six. I'm glad to hear you active here tonight.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
That's better than when they call for you and they can't find you and they say, well, he must be out getting a cup of coffee or something like that. But I'm glad that you got the coffee there, for we can hear you.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
All right. I don't think I have any other requests. I think Miss Quick handled it pretty good. And so I'm going to pray, and we'll get into the message tonight. Our Father, thank you again for this opportunity to be here on the Six Eyes Radio Network and to be able to preach the Word of God to all who will hear. And I would plead with you even now that you'd minister unto those that are listening that we don't even know about. There'll be some that I'm sure will be turning in later on. And I'm just asking that you just minister unto their hearts even now and prepare their hearts for the message of the hour. Now, Lord, this message that I'm preaching tonight is a strong message. I know that. But we need strong messages. I've been preaching for 50 years, and I still need strong messages, and I'm glad that you've given this to me for tonight. So I would plead with you even now that you'd minister unto each of us. Thank you for Brother Six Eyes being tuned in, and for Brother Ken and for his wife. and for the request made. And then for all of those that Brother Ken said, for Israel and for Brother Tim over there, for all of our military, and for the first responders, the medical workers, and all of these, and especially that lost person, the one that's closest to hell. You know which one that is. And we would plead with you even now that you'd minister unto their hearts and just prepare their hearts for the message of the hour. And I would plead with you even now that you just minister unto us in a special way. Now, Lord, for these female drivers that are being targeted up here in the state of Ohio, and, Lord, I would plead with you that very quickly you have the real cop be where he can stop the fake cop and get these people off the street so that they don't hurt and harm anyone else more than what they have already. And I would plead with you even now that you just minister to those, even in these moments. There might be someone that's trying to pull one of them over, and I would plead with you even now that you would intervene, that you would help this lady to understand she does not need to be stopping. She needs to keep right on going. And I would just plead with you that you do that even now. Now, Father, just be with us now as we preach the Word of God. And I would plead with you that you would help me, that you touch my mind, that you give me clarity of thought. And well, I'll sure thank you for that. Now, Lord, just watch over us now, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody that has a Bible right handy, I would ask that you turn to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 17. I'll be dealing mostly in this chapter. There'll be a time or two when I will be out of this chapter, but that's all right. I want to preach a message tonight that I have entitled God's Usable Vessel. Israel is being confronted, as we see this in the scripture before us, by the Philistines, and it's a time of war, and the Philistines think that they've got Israel like how they want them, and it just reminds me a whole lot about the enemies of Israel today. They think they've got Israel right where they think they can handle it, but they're not going to do it. But Israel and Philistines are at a time of war. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I call your attention first off to verse number 4. To this man that the Philistines have that they think is going to win over Israel. Chapter 17 and verse number 4. Listen to this. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. 6 cubits and a span. That would have been about 9 foot and 9 inches tall. I would say that's a pretty good sized feller. But God doesn't have any trouble handling big fellers like this, and we'll find this out in just a few moments. But you see, the Philistines have got him, and he's going to open up his big mouth, and he's going to lie a whole lot. He's trying his best to belittle the army of Israel. And he's done a pretty good job of that already. Verse number 8 of this same chapter. And he, Goliath, stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And verse number 10 says, and the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Now, this 9-foot-and-9-inch tall feller has a lot of stuff around him, and he's got to be a very strong feller to be able to carry all the weight that he is carrying. He's got armor around him, and this stuff is very heavy. It's so heavy that he has a man out in front of him carrying, what's he supposed to be carrying? No, he's carrying a shield. And that shield is not going to do any good for Goliath. Goliath thinks that while he's got everything under control, he's got King Saul just as afraid as anyone else in the Israel army. And King Saul was a very tall man himself. From the shoulders up, he was that much taller than any other man in the land of Israel. Now, that's not quite 9 foot 9 inches, but he's up there pretty good size, as it were. He's the one that should be going out there and facing Goliath. But you see, he's not going to do that because he's having a trouble with this thing called fear. Amen. But you see, Israel's army is stunned by fear. Look at verse number 11. And when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Isn't that amazing? They were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now, verse number 12 mentions the name of David. David was the son of that Bethlehem Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. The 3 eldest sons of Jesse, verse number 13, went and followed Saul to the battle, and that goes on and gives the names of these 3 fellers, but I won't give those names to you. You can read them yourself. But David, verse number 14, was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. Now, David is home, and he's keeping sheep. In verse number 15, David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem, and the Philistine drew near morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. 40 days, this 9-foot-and-9-inch tall gentleman is defying the land, the people of Israel. He's defying the king of Israel. He's defying the army of Israel. And he thinks he's going to get away with this. But you see, that's not the end of the story. Jesse, David's father, called Jesse and said called David and said to David, I want you to take some things and go check on your 3 brothers and see how the war is going. And verse number 17 of this same chapter, chapter 17, verse 17, and Jesse said to David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousand, and look how thy brethren pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. I don't know why it says that they were fighting with the Philistines, because they haven't fought anything yet. Amen. But the Spirit of God said, we're going to write that down because that's what they're supposed to be doing. Amen. And so we go on a little bit further now. And David was sent to the battle to check on his brothers. Verse 17, verse 18. But then there's something new here. Read verse 20 with me. Verse number 20 says this. And David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench to the host as the host was going forth to the fight. Listen to the rest of this. And shouted for the battle. What about that? David's not even in the army. Yet he's got there and he's going along with the army to go out there. And he's the only one shouting. Hallelujah. That tells me that you and I, as a child of God, had better guard our shout. Amen. There better be some shouts coming out of us when we're sitting in the church house and our pastor's up preaching the word of God. Let out an amen every once in a while. It'll help him a whole lot.
Amen.
And it'll help you to do that too. Amen. But you see what I'm saying?
Amen.
If indeed we, the saved, by the grace of God, are in the battle, and we are in the battle. Amen. We are in the battle. And more than that, the devil's bunch is in the battle also. Amen. But you see, David's challenge was brought to King Saul, and he sent for David. Now listen to what David has been doing. Look at verse 29. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And then David turned and he looked at other ones and he said, is there not a cause? And David went on everywhere that he went. And he said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? And when the words were heard that David had spoke, they rehearsed them before Saul. And King Saul sent for David. And David said to Saul in verse number 32, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go forth with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight against him, for thou art but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. Oh, and then David says, hold on here, King. Thy servant slew the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God, verse number 36 says. David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of that Philistine. And Saul said to David, well, go, and the Lord be with you. Oh, you know, I've heard that saying many a time. One of my fellow preachers would hear some of the things where we were going, and they'd say those same words to me. Well, the Lord be with you. Amen. They didn't want to be with me, but they wanted the Lord to be with me. Amen. That's what Saul is doing here. Saul's not going to go out there with him, but Saul says, well, the Lord be with you. And Saul armed him, verse number 38, with his armor. And he put on the helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them, and David put them off. So David's going to take something that he has proved, amen. Verse number 40,
amen.
He took his staff in his hand, and he chose five smooth stones out of the brook. Oh, amen. I read that years ago. And even as a young preacher, that caught my attention. Listen to what it says now. He chose five smooth stones out of the brook. You know, has it ever occurred to anyone how long those stones had been there in that brook with the water running over them? And the water running over rocks does change the way that rocks are. Amen. Especially if the water gets to going like the Mississippi River, that'll change some rocks in just a short order. Amen. Five little smooth stones that David picked up. It never has ceased to amaze me. How long did those stones have to be in that water before they'd gotten down to the right size? How long had they been in that water with the water flowing over them before all the rough edges got off of them and they got to be a smooth stone? That does happen, amen. That does happen. We are in God's army. And in this world, God gave us an armor. Ephesians chapter number 6. Listen to these verses. Verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's pretty good armor. Amen. I'm telling you, it's pretty good armor. There's also some armor for the heart of man. Second Chronicles, I'll get it out in a minute here. Second Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14. Listen to this. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14 says this. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Oh, listen to me. If my people, these are specific people now, my people, which are called by my name, very specific people, shall humble themselves. Humble themselves. You know, the Word of God's got a lot to say about humility. Mm-hmm. Got a lot to say about bound people. Amen.
Amen.
But then it says, and pray. And pray is a specific action, a specific prayer, because we're in wartime here. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and the word seek here is a specific search. It's a search that takes some time and effort. Amen. If they seek my face, and if they turn from their wicked ways, Hello.
Amen.
God has given us some armor, and we need to make sure every day that we get that armor put into place. Amen.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? What I'm saying is this. David knew the tools that would work and would not work. And he took those tools off from him that he knew would not work. And instead, he stopped at the brook and he picked up 5 smooth stones. Boy, it amazes me. It still amazes me. 5 smooth stones. How many years had they been there until they finally got down to being a 5 smooth stones? That was not something that took overnight. That was something that took years. Well, we're in God's army. And God will use us. Amen.
Amen.
He still uses his children yet to this day. He still uses us. But you see, he only uses us when he takes us through trials and tribulations. He only uses us when we get to where we're small, smooth. Amen.
Amen.
That's when he uses us. But don't you know, it takes some time, hello, for some of us to go through enough trials and tribulations before the rough edges have fallen off and before we become smooth and use us. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
See what David said.
Amen.
To his brother, his oldest brother got mad at him because he had showed up there. And his oldest brother got mad at him and said, hold on now, what are you doing here? You know you're not supposed to be here. You're supposed to be back there with those sheep. And David said in verse number 29, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Oh, yes, indeed there's a cause, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to me now. Every trial that you and I go through smooths us. It shapes us. It removes the rough edges from us. It makes us more useful unto God. Amen. Every trial,
amen,
every tribulation we go through, it's for our good. Amen. Everyone,
amen.
Is there not a cause, David said, the church where you go? I'm talking to a good number of church members. I know that. But the church that you go to, is there not a cause enough in that church for you to get up and do something to help somebody? Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes,
God,
sir.
God will give us victory today when we change the ifs into the I cans. Amen.
Amen.
You see, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, listen to this. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul never said, well, if I can do this, I'll be able to do that. No. Paul never used the word if. Instead, he said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Is there not a cause? We need a smooth stone of patience on behalf of those other ones in our church. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm talking to you preachers,
amen,
out there listening to me. I'm,
amen,
telling you, we need to have a smooth stone of patience. Patience. That's what causes us to humble ourselves. patience.
Amen.
You see, is there not a cause? Oh, yes, there's a cause. God so much has said unto us, we are not to be a proud people. We're to be a humble people. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
I know
hello.
All about
Amen.
The same preachers. I know I've met a good number of them before they went on to be with the Lord. I remember that. I remember a lot of these fellers. They were as meek could be. It surprised me on some of these men, because some of these men could preach. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, some of these men could preach. I mean, they could preach. Preach! They could preach. They could preach. But other times, they were as meek as could be. Why is that? Because they had been through enough trials and enough tribulations as to where the rough edges in there had gotten smoothed over. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Is there not a cause? What about the community that you live in? Is there not a cause for that community where you live in? Is there not a cause for
yes.
you to just stand up and be a child of God, no matter who's there? Just stand up and be a child of God.
Yes, yes. Amen.
Amen. Oh, anyone got a smooth stone called a prayer line for your community? Hello? Don't shut me off yet.
Come on now.
Anybody there that's listening? You got a smooth Amen. Stone? You got a smooth stone for your community where you can pray for them, where you can love them? Miss Quick and I went for a second walk yesterday. And the first walk, you know, we just run into different people. But before we left the house for the second walk, I prayed. We always pray before we leave. And I prayed and I said, Lord, would you give us somebody to pray for today? That's all I asked for. And one of the workers was having a little trouble getting up. And these workers, they know me. I'll holler at somebody and say, hey, don't you go running me over. And it's been a joke to them. They laugh. It helps them to laugh. But this gal, I mean, she was having trouble getting up. And I thought to myself, if she's still down, I'll help her when we get up there. And by the time we got up there, she had gotten up. And we stopped and we talked. She told us about her sister, Sandra Strickland.
Just today?
That was just today, yeah, that we were walking that second time. And so right then, I said, I'm going to pray for her right now. Put her hand in my hand, and we prayed. That was God answering our plea. Just to have somebody to pray with.
Yes, yes.
Amen. The Lord's going to do something. The Lord's going to do something to help that gal. I know that. I know that for a fact.
Yes.
But you see,
praise the Lord.
That verse of scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. Let me look at it just for a minute. Let me read it to you one more time. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, don't shut me off yet, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't write this. I'm just reading it. God wrote this. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Don't you know that America is in bad shape right now.
Amen.
This country that I live in is in bad shape right now. Why is it in such bad shape? Because there have been so many times over the last 3 or 4 years when gods have just simply decided to shut their mouth and hope that things will get better. Well, things got a whole lot better for one side, but not for our side. Amen. They got a whole lot worse. But you see what I'm saying? This nation that I live in, is there not a cause right here to stand up and shout? David was not even a soldier. I read that verse of scripture to you. David was not even a soldier. But as soon as he got to where they were at, David was the only one shouting. Amen. He was the only
Amen.
One shouting. Well, what about your community? When's the last time you shouted for your community? Amen.
Amen.
What about your family? Family worth saying, is there a cause? Is your family worth considering a cause? I would hope that it is. But you see, and turn from their wicked ways, that verse of scripture said. And turn from their wicked ways. David cried out, is there not a cause? Our family's a reason to have a cause. No clearer, better way to explain repentance than this very truth. Amen. To tell the Lord we're sorry doesn't get it, ladies and gentlemen. God is looking for proof. God is looking for proof. We tell people, oh, I'm sorry this or I'm sorry that. That doesn't mean anything. And when it comes to our prayer life, and there's something we should have done or we didn't do, and we say, well, Lord, I'm just sorry about that. God's not going to hear that. God's not going to hear that at all. You see, God is looking for people who's going to stand up and be counted. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, amen.
Clearer way to explain repentance than what I'm talking about. Hey, Dad, you got a smooth stone called convictions that'll work for your family? Oh, I did. We were just had gotten on the road as an evangelist. And two of my sons and I had started to sing. We were in our first bus. And it dawned on me right after we started going. I said, Lord, something's not right. And then I shut up. And the Spirit of God let me know what was wrong. So when we got everybody around the table that morning, I said, this is how it is, youngins. From here on, before anybody can eat breakfast in this bus, each one of you is going to read at least 5 chapters in the Word of God. At least 5 chapters every morning before you sit down to read, to sit down to eat. And my oldest son says, hold on, Dad. You know, I can't do something like that. I said, well, when you get hungry enough, you'll do it. He said, what do you mean? I said, I mean, you're not going to sit down for breakfast here until you sit down and read 5 chapters in the Word of God. Well, it didn't take long before each one of them was reading 5 chapters before they come to the breakfast table. Our middle son he is a singer. I mean, he is a singer.
Amen.
When he's up singing, he'll start throwing some scripture out. And I sat there and I listened to that, and tears begin to flow. What's he doing? He's letting me and everybody else know he is still reading the Word of God. Hallelujah. You see, it's important, real important, for us to have standards for our family. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you the truth. A smooth stone willing to labor for victory for God's presence. Listen to this verse of scripture. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 6. But without faith, oh listen, but without faith it is impossible to please him.
Amen.
For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What's that word diligently mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means to persistent effort of mind over body, pursuing with perseverance until that which is set before us is accomplished. That's exactly what it means. Let me read that verse of scripture again. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Ooh. Hello.
Glory.
It ain't time to sleep yet.
No, no, he's preaching tonight. Wide awake.
But you see what I'm saying? I'm saying, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? That first little bit that I talked to you about this morning, tonight, God's usable vessel was the fact of God getting us ready to be used. Amen. And now we find out David is crying out, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? And David took five smooth stones out of that brook. It has never ceased to amaze me how many years those stones had been there, how many thousands and millions of gallons of water had run over them to get them smooth. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. I know that. I know that. It took a long time. Well, you know, I've been in the family of God for, oh, I guess probably 66 or 67 years. In that 66 years, I've been through a whole lot of trials and tribulations. Yes, I have. I certainly have. God called me to preach something a little over 50 years ago. I have been through a whole lot of trial and tribulation. Amen and amen. Second work we planted. The building had been given to us. It was an expensive building. I mean, it didn't look like it was. But it was right on Main Street of that town. And this gentleman gave that building to us, a big two-story brick building. And we went in there, went to work. And that first Sunday, I had advertised, I gave the date that was going to be our first service in that new building. And we had advertised it. And I had an attorney that had been working with us. And he called me, I think it was about Wednesday afternoon. Brother Quick, is what I'm hearing true? Well, what are you hearing? He says, well, he says, I'm hearing that you're going to have your first service in that building this coming Sunday. Is that true? I said, yes, sir, that's true. That's very true. I said, why are you asking? He said, well, I got to tell you this. He says, I've heard through the grapevine that if you have service in that church building this coming Sunday, come Sunday night, you'll be locked up in jail. Well, that doesn't cause for a fellow to sleep really good, you know what I mean? I didn't sleep for a good Wednesday night. Thursday, did my thing. Prepared the message even better for Sunday morning. I didn't sleep for a good Thursday night. Got up Friday, did what I needed to do. Went to bed Friday night. I didn't sleep good Friday night. I was praying. Saturday I got up, did those things I needed to do, and I went to bed. And about 2 o'clock Sunday morning, the Spirit of God came by and spoke to me and said, son, it's all right. I'm with you. And I dropped off to sleep. I think my wife probably had to wake me up that Sunday morning. She said, well, you sure sleeping good. And I said, yes, ma'am. God come by and spoke to me last night. She said, well, what did he say? He told me that we can go ahead and have it serviced. And so we got in there, you know, and everything had been put in place and all the announcements and all that stuff. And I got up and began my introduction in my message. And lo and behold, 2 city cops walked in, and they stopped just inside the doors, and one's leaning on this side and one's leaning on the other side. And I saw them, and the Spirit of God says, preach to them, son. And so I forgot my introduction. I just preached Jesus to them. Until I finally, I ran out of air. I didn't have no more air. And finally I stopped and I says, okay, fellas, is there a reason that you're standing back there? One of them tipped his hat back a little bit and he said, yeah, we just want to find out if there's a church service going on here. I said, well, if you don't know there's a church service going on here by now, I said, you're dumber than a fence post. Well, out the door they went.
Glory!
But there was a man
wow.
in that church service. He'd been under Nazism in Germany. And he suddenly jumped to his feet, and he chased these 2 policemen for 2 blocks. And all he would holler out was, Gestapo, Gestapo, Gestapo. And that afternoon I was down thanking the Lord because we'd had a good service. And there was a knock on the
yeah,
church door. I went to the church door, and one of them cops was just outside the door, and he says, preacher, I got to tell you, we were just here just following orders this morning. I said, well, all right, you followed orders. Is there anything else I can do for you? And he says, listen, he says, that fellow that chased us for 2 blocks, he says, is it really true? I said, what true? And he says, is it true that he come up under Nazism in Germany? I said, that's very true. Oh, man, he said, that must be why he was hollering what he's hollering. I said, well, what was he hollering? He said, all he do is holler just, Gestapo, Gestapo, Gestapo. And I said, well, then y'all just start better learning from that and just quit doing what you're doing then. Well, that church is still going. And now the building next to it, this gentleman has bought. And he's a very wealthy man, and he put the electricians in there. I mean, he put everybody in there to do all that kind of stuff. And the other building is like a pastorum. I've not been there, but I've been told about it. But you see, I know what it's like for all those rough edges to get knocked around. I know what it's like to stand there and see a police officer come in. I know what it's like. I know what all that stuff is like. I've been through it. I've been through it, and I know what it's like. But you see what I'm saying? I'm saying, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause for you to pick up and do better for the Lord? Is there not a cause
yes, sir.
For you to start praying right? Is there not a cause for you not to pick up and start doing right? Is there not a cause
yes,
for you to pick up your Bible and start reading it on a regular basis? Is there not a cause? Yes, there's a cause.
Yes, sir.
That cause is you. Amen. But you see, that verse of scripture that I read over here in 2 Chronicles, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven." Oh, hallelujah. I live in Waycross, Georgia. I have been told, there was a young, she wasn't so young, she was an older gal. She came to me right after we moved to town here about 30 years ago, and she said, "Brother Quick, I'm glad to see you moving in here." And I said, "Well, why is that?" She says, "I get an opportunity to be able to tell you something about Waycross." And I said, "Well, tell me." She said, "I've got an article in a newspaper." She says, "I got it at the house," and she said, "I'm going to make a copy of it and I'll bring it to you." She says, "Around the turn of the century, Waycross, Georgia was known all over the world as being the most revived city ever going." I looked at her and I said, "That was a long time ago." She said, "Yes, it was." I said, "It was not long enough ago as to where there's no sign of revival in this town anymore." She said, "I know that too." Well, I don't know what happened to the gal, but she never got that article to me. But you see, Waycross, Georgia, around the turn of the century, was known as the most revived city in America. Waycross is anything but revived today, just like anything else. It's went downhill. Amen. But you see what I'm saying? Is there not a cause for you, for me, to pick up and just pick up and just pick up and just take up and go for the Lord? That's what the Lord wants us to do. Amen. And he will supply for us as we do it. Oh, yes, he will.
Amen.
He will supply every need that we've got. If we just go to him, tell him what we need, and then hush up, and he'll speak to you. He will speak to you. Amen.
Amen.
He's done that many, many years with me. But you see what I'm saying? David said, "Is there not a cause?" And then David knew there was a cause. David picked up 5 smooth stones out of that brook. And then he went and he met Goliath. And Goliath says, "What in the world? No more than what you are. Just come on over here. I'll give you to the birds." Well, David just put one of those stones in his sling, and he slung it, and it went right straight into the forehead of Goliath, and down he went, right down, bam. That was it. Then David got over there, and he stood on top of him. Then he pulled this giant's sword out, and then he cut Goliath's head off. And when the Philistine saw that, then they took up running. Amen. This one little shepherd boy with one little smooth stone removed the problem that had been there for 40 days and 40 nights, hollering and yelling and belittling God's people. And David said, "Is there not a cause?" Oh, yes, there was a cause. And David went in and took care of it the best that he could. Amen. That's what we need to do. We need to take care of business the best that we can also. And the best that is to ourselves aligned with God. Get ourselves aligned with God. Make sure that all of our sin is under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Make sure all of our blood is forgiven. Make sure all of our blood is gone, and if our sin will be cast as far as the east is from the west from us. Amen.
Amen.
God promised that. And then just pick up and go. Pick up and go. That's what God wants us to do. Just pick up and go. Amen. And that's exactly what we need to be doing. Well, I've been a long time preaching tonight. I didn't really intend to be that long, but I wanted to get the point across to those that are listening. Is there not a cause, David said? Oh, yes, there's a cause. America is a cause. And whatever country that you live in, that you don't live in America, whatever country that you do live in, there's a cause there for you to stand up and be counted for the Lord. Amen. There is a cause. And God's people need to be there in the middle of that cause so that we can be used of God to take care of those problems that shine so bright. Amen and amen. Our Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for these moments that you've given for me to preach the Word of God. I would plead with you even now. Oh, Lord God, get a hold of our hearts. Help us to understand every trial and every tribulation. It's coming. There's a reason for it coming. It's coming because it's going to help to knock off those rough edges around us. It's going to help to get us into a smooth stone that you, your spirit, can pick up and take and use somewhere. And Lord, that's what it's going to take to be able to be usable, is to go through the trial and go through the tribulation and stay with it and hang with you and know that you're doing it for our good. And when we know that you're doing it for our good, we will not complain. We won't be bellyaching about anything. We're going to be glad that you have done that and you've used us. That's what we're going to be glad for. But just help us now, Lord. Help us to understand this message was as much for me as what it is for anyone else. But just help us this night to know that you are here, to know that you're right here with us, and to know that you will use us. Amen and amen. So, Lord, just watch over us now. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. My snail mail address is 1122 Church Street, Waycross, Georgia. Waycross is spelled capital Waycross, Georgia. The zip is 31501. And we're just so glad that God has put us right here in this southeastern corner of the great United States of America. So just be praying with us and pray for us, and we'll sure enough appreciate that. Brother Ken?
Amen. And that was a good message, Brother Quick. And, hey, remember I've told you before, you got plenty of time. So, I mean, you got up to 2 hours or even more, so it ain't a problem. And, Brother Quick, two little observations about David and Goliath. First off, you notice he didn't grab one stone, he grabbed five.
That's
you ever
it.
Wonder why he grabbed five?
Because Goliath had four other brothers.
Yep. He was ready for the other four. It's like, hey, come on, boys. You want some of this? And the second thing, you know why it was such a surprise to Goliath when David hit him with the stone?
Why is that?
Because such a thing never entered his mind before.
My soul.
So, oh, darling, you're so much fun.
There you got it. Well, anyway, it was a great message. I definitely enjoyed it. I was definitely enjoying that. So, okay, anybody else got some questions or comments? You could speak up. We'll have your mic open if you called 424-243-9617. We know that Six is still with us. So what do you got for us, Six?
Well, I just enjoyed the message. That was the first time I heard about that tall the giant getting his head cut off, the 9 foot gentleman. First time I heard about that. Just a great message. It's definitely a great message. And those two cops that tried to interrupt Dr. Quick's service. I'm sure he led them to God, or they got closer to God than they were prior to them coming there. So that's a blessing right there. And like I said, always a great message. Always look forward to hearing it. And with that, I'm complete.
All right. Ruth, who else do we got with us?
Well, we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you, Brother Quick, Brother Six, and me.
Okay. Well, then, Ruth, your turn, since you're the last one there.
Yeah, I just loved the sermon, too. I thought it was very wonderful, especially some of the parts that I don't think I'd heard before. So I like that. That's really good, because I always like to learn more. I mean, I've been a Christian like 40 years, but I still can learn. You know, and I praise the Lord for that, so that he gave such a good message to me.
But, hey, we're not going to leave Mrs. Quick out. Okay, Mrs. Quick, what did you get out of the message, too?
Well, I always get something out of this message, and kind of spoke to my heart a little bit as well. Isn't there a cause, you know, to be more faithful maybe and speaking out for the Lord? We speak out a lot, but sometimes I think we could do more than we do, and sometimes we don't get as concerned for our family as we ought. And I believe I, you know, I need to do better on that as well. And it was just a great message, and I appreciate my husband so much and all the studying that he puts in for this thing. It's amazing just how many hours he really spends getting prepared to preach on Thursday nights. So just keep him in your prayers, and he's still having a time with his knees. And we just continue to pray about that. He's got an appointment on March the 11th. It seems like it's a long ways off, but it'll be here before you know it. So just keep us in your prayers.
Amen. All right. Well, with that, we are going to turn the mic back over to Brother Quick for a closing prayer. And we want to remind everybody to join us tomorrow. The schedule is now changed. Instead of AJ and the squad being on Station 1, they will be on Station 2, still the same time, but Station 2, you call 515-605-9340. Again, 515-605-9340. But that still will be at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. And then for Six Eyes and My Daddy's Records, that will be moved over to Station 1, and you call 424-243-9617 at 6 p.m. And so just note that change, and we will catch you tomorrow for either or both of those shows. So, Brother Quick, we turn it into your hands for that closing prayer.
All right. Thank you, Brother Ken, and thank you, Brother Six, and for Ken's wife.
Yes, sir. You're welcome.
So we'll close in prayer now. Our Father, thank you for these moments that you've given me to be able to preach the Word of God. And Lord, thank you so much for helping me. That is a good message that needs to be worn in our hearts every day. We need to understand, is there not a cause? Yes, there is a cause. And because God has saved us, and because God has put us wherever it is that he's put us, he has a reason for us to be there. And there is a cause for us to understand that. So just help each one of us to understand, going out of business at all, you are our God, and you are our Savior, our Lord, and we just love you so very much. Thank you so very much, Lord, for these moments again this night. And for everyone that will hear this message, I would plead with you even now that you'd minister unto their hearts and get fruit unto your name. And we'll sure thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, y'all.
Amen. God bless everybody. Have a good night.